Elevation Church, pastored by Stephen Furtick, is one of the most popular churches in the country and even the world. And one of the reasons for that is that they do such a fantastic job with everything digital. From their app to their website, they are just killing it. And in today's episode, we talk about some of the things that we love about Elevation Church and their website and their app. We hope this conversation helps your church reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 88. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, not too much, man. Excited to tackle this conversation today. One of the things that we hear all the time is in the web design world, because that's how we got our start at Reach Right, is we were a web design company first and foremost. We still do that. Is people will come to us wanting a new website, and what do they say, Ian?
Can you guys do a website like Elevation? We really love Elevation's website. Let me send it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Will you? Can we get a website like Elevation Church's website?
Yeah,
it is a great website.
It is.
We love it.
There's a reason we hear that, even though we chuckle every time because we hear it all the time. So to us, it's different.
We do. I think at least a couple times a week, probably someone will say, "We want to do Elevation Church's website. We love what they do there," and we do too. We do too. Now, today's episode, we're going to be talking about what we love about Elevation Church's website. They do a great job. They're one of the best churches when it comes to their digital approach to ministry. They are killer at that. There are many things on there. And the website, just so everybody knows, is elevationchurch.org. That's where they are. If you want to check it out while you're listening to this, feel free to do something like that. It's really going to be talking mostly about their website, a little bit about their app, but they are fantastic when it comes to their overall digital approach to ministry. They are able to do that because they have a budget that's a little bit bigger than most churches, I would say, when it comes to these things. Because honestly, we have to break people's heart when they say we want to have exactly Elevation Church's website. We have to tell them, well, you need to hire 7 full-time developers to be working on staff, and it's going to cost you about $500,000 a year to do something like that. Are you guys ready for that kind of investment? The answer is no, except for, you know, maybe 4 churches in the country are able to do something like that. So all that to say, we want to today in this episode be able to pull out some of the things that I think are fantastic that a lot of churches can do, at least version of it, that would actually be useful for them within a normal church's budget that is not hundreds of thousands of dollars every year towards your web development and app budgets and those kinds of things there. It is really a good conversation to have because we do hear this all the time. So I'll go ahead and kick us off though. The first thing that we love about Elevation Church's website is just the overall design and functionality of the site. I think the look and feel, this has always been something they've been good at. Now, they are kind of trailblazers in the way that they design their site with kind of these, where everything was going to these wide approaches. And I'm actually personally not a big fan of this. They have more of a narrow approach to their design when you're on a desktop computer. So I'm pulling it up as I'm talking to everybody here. So it is a narrow approach. The reason for that is because they recognize that most of their audience is on a phone. I think most churches need to know that, is that most of your website traffic is going to be on a phone or a mobile device. So be aware of that, and what it looks like on a big screen doesn't really matter as much as what it looks like on a phone. You should do a mobile first approach to the way you design your website there. I do love the way that they design things in a very simple, clean, graphic first and video first kind of an approach. And one of the things I've always loved about it is that their color is this, they have this orange logo. It's pretty recognizable.
Yeah.
I know it when I see it. It's that bright orange. It's got a little kind of triangle pointing up, or a chevron, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
And they find ways to sneak in that orange all over on the site. So I don't know if it's just people caught wearing an Elevation t-shirt, or they have a little orange pen or something that they clue in on. But almost every image on the site, if you go through it, they have some little orange accent that reinforces the look. All the pictures have kind of this orange friendly filter put onto them that really makes that stuff pop. So design wise, they do a great job. And I think a lot of churches could learn and do something like that. I think they do good with that.
Yeah, no, I agree, and it's pretty neat. Like you said, they trailblazed with this, and they did their own thing. They went against the grain, and so funny with that. We actually came up with a theme that's somewhat similar to it. It's not, you know, we would never copy any site or anything like that, but just based upon the amount of requests, we have somewhat of a similar layout that we've used. But it is totally different than any other type of layout that we use. So
what's the name of the theme? Which one is that?
It's the Hayford.
It's the Hayford. Okay.
Yeah. That's,
so we try to, we with all of our website themes that we've made over the years here at Retry, we give them names of great theologians or church leaders, most of them deceased or passed away. Stephen Furtick's a little bit too young in the game to, I think, to get his own theme named after him. So it would have been the Furtick theme, but
I think
it
the
didn't
youngest
quite work
was
out that way.
Billy Graham, right? Almost.
I think Billy Graham's older than
Hayford. Hayford
might be alive still. He's the only live one, I think.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So that's good. But no, definitely it is. I think even though we were jokingly saying we hear about this site and we're kind of like, okay, again, you want something like Elevation, but there's a reason why we're hearing that. And I think we definitely have gleaned from it, and there's a lot that we've taken away from it. Doing web design, and so I think everyone can. It's even if you don't do anything like it, there's a lot, and we're going to keep going with that. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and cover the next one. One of the other cool things about the site is it has a very clear navigation, and this is something that is very vital. And as you mentioned, they went with a very mobile-first approach. They know most people are browsing by way of smartphones and iPhones, and so, you know, you need to have, and you, even on a desktop, you need to have clear and simple navigation. We've been seeing it for years. It's still prevalent out there with websites that not even just necessarily churches the size of Elevation, much smaller, just tend to have a really busy navigation with the way that each page in the navigation is termed. And to be clear what we mean by navigation for people listening, these are the links that people click on that usually are across the top of the website. Sometimes they can be on different areas of the website too, but usually there. But we've seen that just churches, and no, churches mean well with this. They want to communicate a lot of information about ministries and those things, but they've, you know, have all of these busy drop-down menus. And for a large church, you know, one of the largest churches in the world, they have done a very good job of making the navigation clear and simple.
Yeah. We've been teaching churches for years and years now, since our founding as a company, that if you want to have a mobile first approach, you need to move away from the drop down menus. And very few churches, the sites that the ones we put out, we don't use drop down menus unless the church really insists on it for some reason. But we do everything in our power to talk them out of that. But most churches that come to us are using some kind of drop down menu. Here's the deal. Elevation Church has more ministries happening than your church does, unless you're like one of three pastors in the country. They have more happening than yours does.
Yep.
If they cannot use drop-down menus and get it all into their navigation, then you probably can too.
Yep.
Theirs is so simple. Here, I'll kind of just give our audience an idea of what it says. It's sermons, locations, about, get involved, store online, the online store, and then giving. Most of our audience doesn't need to have a store page unless people really want to buy your swag, which almost certainly isn't the case.
Yeah.
So really, it's like it's five items that they have it down to that you would need to have. Now, there's holes in that you know we usually have five or six. That's kind of the number we try to stay within. Sometimes seven if we need to, but a super simple navigation. Now, one of the tools they use is on the very right hand side of their navigation. They have what's called a hamburger navigation that highlights those few things again. So the store, get involved, sermons, all those things, and then they go in a little bit deeper and have some information on kids and groups and kind of this serves almost like a footer does, a place where you put some of that. But it is out of the way, and unless you really wanted to dig in and know more, you wouldn't get into that hamburger nav, which is those three lines that people see on the right hand side there. So anyway, I'd love that. I think that this is something that they do really well. That's not an expensive thing. That's just a design decision that I think every church should be making. If you like Elevation site, one of the things you almost certainly like about it is the fact that it is very clear and simple in its navigation, and you should be doing that too.
Yeah, good.
Awesome. Next one up is that we really love their customized experience. And they do probably the best customized experience that I have ever seen on a church website before. So the first time you're on the site, I'm not going to see this on here because I've clicked around their site a lot and I've made this decision. But the first time you're on the Elevation Church website, it asks you a question. It says, are you new here? Are you part of our eFam, which is their term for someone who's an online-only member, or are you part of a church campus, one of their 24 actual campuses that are there?
Yeah.
And you choose which one of those three best describes you, and then the site totally gives them a different experience based on what that choice was. So they understand that if somebody lives where I live in Honolulu, they're not going to be able to come out this Sunday at 9:30 and come to a service, but they can be a part of their eFam, and they're trying to direct them that way. So they just give you a tailored and different experience.
Yeah.
So I think this is something that is really brilliant.
Yeah.
If you haven't had time, get in there and click around their map to look at their eFam.
Yeah.
And this is just an incredible piece of programming that would cost, no joke, this would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to build this.
I'm sure they invested. Is this affordable? Is this affordable, Thomas?
No, this particular part isn't. The map that they have on there, they have this map built where you can identify anybody that is part of their eFam. So the thousands of people all over the country that are online only members, I go to my island here on Oahu in Hawaii and I see dozens and dozens of people as I get onto this map, and it says their first name and their last initial, nothing. And through the website, I can send them a message and say, hey, I see you're in my eFam here. Or, it really is an amazing piece of programming. Now, most churches are not going to be able to do something like this, but I think they can give people a customized experience, especially on the new here versus current members approach to your site. We have been doing this for a while. You know, Ian, that giving people a first-time visitor page or a new here page that people can get onto and answer all of those questions that people
plan
have
your visit
before
page,
their first visit, plan your visit, exactly.
Yep.
That kind of stuff. That's the version that most churches could probably do of something like this. So, I don't know, what do you think? Good idea to do that?
Very good idea to do that, for sure. Yeah, make it as customized as possible. The next thing I would say is make it as personalized as possible. That's another thing that they do well, and these two things are a little bit differently. We have seen, you know, despite a lot of churches' best efforts for years, they end up making a website that is, it's more internal than it is external, focused on the visitor that's there. And I don't think churches set out to do that. They're not going to say, well, some do. I've come across some that may want to make it all about their members, but I think most go into it saying, yeah, we really want to, we want this website to reach new visitors. And then unfortunately, I think just sometimes churches have a hard time kind of putting themselves in the place of that person that knows nothing about their programs or knows nothing about their events, because we can't assume that people are going to be interested in our ministries at a church or our events when they don't even know who we are yet.
Right.
And so, but we've seen that on at so many. It's come to us, our programs, attend an event. Instead, what Elevation does a really good job on their side is no matter kind of who you are, what you're going through in life, we have something that can help you. And I think a lot of that is just content. You don't have to have all of the bells and whistles. You don't have to have all of the bells and whistles. And like you said, five developers and a $500,000 budget for it. But basically, just making the information and the content visitor-focused, trying to get in the mind. This is stuff we love. I would say this is probably what we love helping churches do the most, where me personally, is getting in the mind of that visitor, that person that's maybe unsure about coming to a church at all or connecting with a church or staying engaged online with a church at all. Just getting in their mind and answering questions, reducing their apprehension. And their website, Elevation's website, does a great job of that.
Yeah, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, but just that if we've been pastoring a church for a long time, you kind of miss those fresh eyes that you need to really understand what a visitor's experience is like. And the same goes for your website. It really, you have to look at it not through someone who founded this church and has been at it for 15 years.
Yeah.
This is what my website should say. It needs to be like, what is my community? What is a person who's totally green and never been to our church before? What are they looking for on this website?
Right.
And try to personalize it for them. That's one of the biggest mistakes we see churches making, though, is building insider-focused websites instead of outwardly focused websites. Because the truth is, there's really only two real things that members are coming onto your site for. They're coming there for events and for sermons.
Yeah.
They're regularly doing that. Maybe they get on there to give.
Yeah.
You know, in most cases, that's through some kind of a online giving app or something like that nowadays. So they could possibly give that way too.
Yeah.
So for a visitor, that's who all the other pages are for. Your about page and what you believe and introducing your staff and all of your ministry pages. As much as we wish they would, the youth of your church aren't getting onto the youth ministry section three times a week just to see if there's any updates on that section there, because there never are. And there's nothing really new to be putting on there.
Right.
It is for people that are new to your church and it's fresh that way. So that's really important. And actually, that leads me to the next one. Well,
good.
Is that we love the Elevation Church website and the way that they do fresh quality content all the time. It is a big undertaking, but anytime you get on there, like when this podcast goes live, we're recording it on a Thursday.
Yeah.
It goes live usually on Tuesday mornings. It'll be different. So I can't tell you what's going to be on there, but when you get onto the homepage, there's going to be a video of the sermon, and usually it's the most animated moments of the sermon. So it's Pastor Stephen kind of doing this and getting everybody riled up and things in the service there. So that is what they have on the homepage every single week.
Yeah.
And it's something that is engaging. If you haven't been on the website before, or if you have, you were on there last week, it's going to be like a totally new experience. And what it does, though, is it draws you in to saying, you know what, I probably ought to listen to that.
Yep.
Well, that seems like that must have been exciting, whatever he was talking about there. I want to take a look at that and see what that's about there. So they are constantly doing fresh quality content. We say it over and over again, but content is king.
Yeah.
Your website, you need to be making fresh, good, new content for it all the time. And the great thing is that, again, this is something that churches can do because you produce a well-structured, well-thought-out, you invested a lot of time in a piece of content every single week in your sermon. That's something that all churches are doing. And so finding ways to repurpose that, to use it online, to use it for video content, I think it's just really powerful. So,
I'm glad you didn't fall down when you jumped up like that and you fell down during the podcast. But and not every pastor, and you weren't saying this, you don't need to be as animated as Stephen Furtick or anything like that.
You're probably not going to be,
No, probably not going to be, right? And but at the same time, and you don't, again, have to have a crazy budget for this. And this could be as simple as, let's make sure your sermon graphics, your sermon series graphics are up to date, you know? We've seen some really cool stuff, just a quick, 5-minute word for the day, devotional type thing, that video that is very easy to pull off for a pastor. And make sure your welcome video is fresh. If you have a welcome video that's been there for 5 years. I know I have more gray now than I did 5 years ago. So, you know, you want to keep you want to keep things fresh. So, no, it doesn't have to be all that crazy dynamic content. Great if you can pull that off, but just keeping your content fresh. And that gives people a reason to come back to your web presence too. So, and use it.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
That's good. So, next one would be accessible social media platforms. And I like that we use that keyword accessible. You know, that is, we want to make sure that it is very, whatever social media is right for you. And we've said this over and over again on our episodes that not, you don't have to do everything out there. It could be just two things well, Facebook and YouTube,
right,
or something like that, or in Instagram. If we were to recommend three, we'd recommend those three to start with for most churches, but it could be different. But making that really accessible and making sure that, you know, you're doing a good job with content there, keeping content fresh there, just like you would on your website. So dude, they do a great job of that too.
They do. I think this is the one that'll be one of the most out of reach, surprisingly, for most churches that are not pastored by Stephen Furtick.
Yeah.
I think that they are really fantastic on social platforms. They are probably the most widely shared ministry on Instagram and some of these channels because they're so good at, they have such an animated pastor.
Yeah.
They do such good quality video. He is the perfect, if this is your style of preaching that you love, but as far as like the preaching quote or, you know, nailing that little clip, he is one of the best ever at communicating in that fashion there.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be hard. So I don't know that, so I kind of, my backdrop on this is that as a general rule, we don't want to push people off of your website and onto social platforms away from where you have control. It is better to pull people from social platforms onto your site.
Right.
These guys are in a different class because they have such a huge following on all these social platforms that getting them to like and subscribe on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, they know that that is a really important metric for them.
Yeah.
And it's pulling more people in the future back to their content again.
Yeah.
So I think for them, it makes a lot of sense. I think that for most churches, it should be clear links to your social platforms, a clear invitation to like and subscribe, but never, hey, leave the site now and spend most of your time on Instagram following us.
Right.
Because we want them on our platform. This is where we have the most control, and we've done other episodes kind of highlighting some of those differences there. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think that the way that they do that for them, they're really fantastic at it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Awesome.
I think I stole yours there. So, did we get the order wrong? So,
did you?
I think
no,
so.
I don't know. I think we're close.
Good.
I'll go ahead and do the next one. It's
cool.
It's community.
Yeah.
They do a really good job of building community on the site. And we talked a little bit about this, about it is so forward thinking. And again, I'm not here to make a theological judgment on this or not, whether this is the a right approach. I am thrilled with the fact that people all over the world are hearing the gospel through this ministry. That does make me very happy. I have reservations on whether or not that fulfills our requirement of not neglecting our assembly together. I think that Christians need to have personal interaction, I think, in the flesh is still really valuable.
Yeah.
So again, this is not passing any kind of judgment, but I will say that I am amazed at the amount of community and connection that people feel that if I sign up to join the EFAM, I can get put onto that map and have conversations with people that are near me. And what an amazing thing being like 5,000 miles away from this church and their headquarters that here in my island state on Oahu here, that I can find community with people that are part of the same thing if I was so inclined to do that. It is an amazing feat of technology. I don't know that, again, this is one of those things that's going to be hard for a lot of more modestly budgeted churches to pull off.
Yeah.
But I do love the way that they make that happen on the site here. It really is cool.
Yeah, you showed me there was a middle school watch party that my daughter could attend if she wanted to here in my neck of the woods. We looked at that on their website there. So that's it's just we've never seen stuff like that before. Yeah,
it's well, they're really running with the kind of this idea of doing online, what online ministry looks like. And they're, I'm thankful for them. They're kind of like the poison testers.
Yep.
They're kind of going out in front of us and they're seeing what's going to work. And my guess is that most of this probably, a lot of it won't work great. I imagine that what this will be a very outdated podcast episode in a few years because some of these things might be proven to not work well. But I have to admire the way that they're trying and giving an effort to some of this kind of stuff. So it really is cool. So on that map, like to build community, talking about that. So they have individuals that are part of their EFAM. They have people that are hosting watch parties. So people that get together and watch Pastor Stephen or whoever's preaching that message on Sundays or some other time. And they have hundreds of those all over the country of people gathering to watch services together. And they have small groups that are happening all over the country. So it really is pretty amazing the way they've facilitated this online community. It's actually happening there.
Next one here, I'll run with this one. Pastoral presence. Now, again, not everyone's going to be a big personality type, Stephen Furtick type. Now, you know, and we get that. And we also know that, of course, at every church, it's not all about the pastor. But let's just face it, there's been studies for years that, you know, I think it was about 88% of the reason that someone would come back to a church was the connection, or end up joining the church is the connection they felt with the pastor. That was like an old Lifeway study done years ago, still holds true. So definitely as the senior leader, they are going to hear from you more than anyone else. They will, you're going to want that. They're going to have to enjoy your preaching to stick around probably. So definitely make the pastor, I've seen a lot of church websites, and it was kind of an act of, I mean, the intent was to be humble about it, but it ended up kind of being detrimental, where the senior pastor puts themselves at the very bottom of the staff page, and they start with the janitor, and then they go backwards. And again, it's at the same time, probably from possibly having some humility there was the goal, or a humble approach, but they forget that, you know, when churches do that, people, one of the most sought after areas on a church website we've seen is the staff area, team, whatever you call it, leadership. They do want to see the senior pastor and they want to know who they're going to be hearing from and connecting with.
Yep, that's exactly right. And they do a good job of it. I mean, I think they ride the line really well. Like, so it's not just big pictures of Pastor Stephen's mug all over the homepage, right? It's like, you'll get the ones of him. And again, he's very dynamic. So you see him kind of in his most animated moments of him preaching, or whoever did the sermon right now. It's Rich Wilkerson who is on there, because I think he preached this last Sunday. So, but it's not, I don't walk away feeling like it's all about, this is like the Pastor Stephen show and it's all about him. At the same time, I definitely know who's leading the church and who's preaching most of the time. If you get in here, you'll see him a lot. And so I think they do a good job of trying to find that right balance. So I think I think that most churches can learn from this. It's not something that costs extra or they have to invest a lot in. But I think having ways that you can connect with people and introduce yourself, and anything we can do to facilitate them making a connection with you as a person, I think that goes a long way to their stickiness and their odds of coming and coming back again, is feeling some kind of connection with the pastor. So yeah, that's good. Awesome. Did you have anything else?
Awesome.
Cool, man.
I think we covered it good. So
yeah, we'll wrap up with that then. If this has been helpful to you guys, we hope it has. We hope you guys also are impressed by Elevation Church's website. If it has been helpful to you, we would love it if you would rate, review, subscribe, and become a part of our Reach Right family. Do some of that interaction that we were talking about earlier. Yeah. Leave us a comment below. We're always looking for new ideas for shows, and we get a lot of these sourced from our community here. So if you have an idea or a comment, drop it in there of something you've always wondered about, how to reach people, digital marketing, anything like that related to churches. We'd love to hear some of that. So leave that in the comments. Thanks so much for being a part of our Reach Right family, and we'll catch you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.